For your wonderful presence, we thank you for this wonderful person, the Holy Spirit, that you have sent. You have not left us as orphans. You've come to us. You've given us the presence and the power of the third person of the Godhead, so that we can enjoy Shekinah, your glory unending, even here on earth. We want to thank you. Lord, Holy Spirit, we appreciate you very much. Thank you for teaching us your ways, teaching us how to cooperate with you intelligently, to walk with you intelligently, so that your purpose, the will of God, and His kingdom might be made manifest in our lives, to be a blessing to the rest of humanity. We enter your word with reverence. We recognize it is your word, not ours. We recognize it is pregnant with your wisdom, far beyond whatever we can even think or imagine. So we stand in need of great help. Oh God, come and help us. Anoint me afresh, Lord, that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Help us. Put the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of the people that I am speaking to, those who are here, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. Lord God, so the same, your word will have free course. It will be clear from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As I speak, I pray the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power to heal, power to deliver, power to break yokes, power to free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery. Oh God, help me that I will deliver it with precision. I will redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word indeed things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said,
Amen.
Amen. I was somewhere recently, and a man of God who was actually preaching in Yoruba, you know, and he said what I say here often. It struck me when he said it. He said, you know, he talked about amen. You know, he prayed a prayer and just a few people said amen. Then he said, that amen is not good enough. He said, say amen. He said, because amen means so be it. He said in Yoruba, asheni. Ashe means it will happen. Ashe, that means it will happen. So amen is not religion. It's an agreement. It's a proclamation of faith. It's a release of power that all that was said in that prayer will happen to you. Now say it. Hallelujah. God is doing great things. Amen. Great things are coming from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. In the nation and the land where the rivers divide. Today I'm going to be talking about the second part of my series on blessings of the age to come. And as it's going to be tied to blessings of the age to come, underscore, that means, you know, the topic of this particular message will be prevailing in the heavens. But it's still a continuation of the blessings of the age to come. Now, I'm going to read what I've written down here. And I want to instruct and admonish and encourage everybody here to go and check the weekly Rhema. I've summarized this. The first one is already up. You know, I put it up this last week. You know, and this is an extract from it. You know, the blessings of the age to come is actually simulating millennial conditions now. What's in the millennial? We're simulating it now by the force of spiritual arms through the ministry of angels, causing Satan to be effectively bound in the air, wherever and whenever Davidic spiritual kings are in operation. Let me break that down in a simple way. The blessings of the age to come is actually creating the same condition that we'll get during the millennium because of the operation of spiritual kings who've grown, you know, Christians who've grown to become spiritual kings after the order of David, you know, through the force of spiritual arms, prayer and intercession, and the ministry of angels. In other words, it is the ministry of those angels and the power of God that were released into the air that simulate. The word simulate, it's a computer term. When you want to do something, you don't actually do it. You do something that comes from similar. You do something that is similar to it that creates the same conditions so you can predict. Simulation is a powerful tool. In fact, some of the work I'm doing right now in some of my research, I'm using powerful simulation tools. So instead of having to go to the lab, you know, and get hydrogen and get boron and get this and put it on top of carbon and put it on top of graphene, you know, I don't have those access to those materials here in Nigeria. So I simulate on the computer. Simulate exactly the same thing on the computer. You know, write a computer. There's a computer program that's been written to make it look, you know, what looks like carbon, not what looks like, you know, you put in the parameters for that, and then it, you know, and then you set the thing, you put the computer on, and it begins to simulate. It begins to, you know, move a force and as if it would behave. If it was in an experiment, you run it for 10 minutes, you run it for 5 minutes, you know, it does thousands of calculations, then you stop. Then you go and look at the result, you know, and see the same result that would have happened if you had actually done it inside the lab. Then you can say, oh, this material will behave like this under these conditions of temperature, under this condition of pressure. Therefore, we can use it to manufacture new solar cells. We can use it to manufacture this and so on and so forth. So it's the same principle, you know, that we're doing here. We're not in the millennium, but we can simulate it. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what the blessings of the age to come are all about. Now, in our last lesson, we made a summary of these blessings. I'm going to summarize them. It's actually taken from, let's go to Isaiah 65. That's where we stopped last week. Isaiah chapter 65. And let me try and get my Bible open here. Okay. Jesus help me. Okay. And in Isaiah chapter 65, look at, go to the very last verse. Because of time, I'm not going to read everything. We did that last week, so we're not going to repeat all of that again today. We have a lot of ground to cover. Isaiah chapter 65. Lord mercy, where are you? There we go. Okay. You know, and let's just read the last two verses. Then I will just summarize all the other things in the other verses. Let's read together. And it shall be that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. I was reading out of the Amplified accidentally. Let me go back to the King James. Shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. Now, this last phrase actually captures the spirit of everything. They shall not what? Hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now, what does this mean? You know, in the millennium, what you have to understand is this. During the millennium, Satan would have been captured. An angel will bind him with chains and put him in the bottomless pit. You find this in Revelation chapter 20. We won't go there because of time. Therefore, in the millennial reign, there will be no prince of the power of the air. You see, the thing that is causing problem now is the prince of the power of the air. It is the one that is making the lion eat the wolf, eat the lamb. Is the prince of the distorted beastly form we see in animal nature now is a direct consequence of the fall of man and the takeover by Lucifer.
So he is distorted. Many things we see in nature are not natural. They are a distortion of what God originally made. So during the millennium, once the source of the distortion has been removed, everything will revert back to the way it was normally operating. So originally, God did not even create lions to be carnivores. It's interesting. I didn't do zoology. You know, we have our doctors and all those people here. You know, a thought just hit me. Cows and goats, they don't eat meat. They eat straw. They eat grass, don't they? But it is converted to meat. Because we eat the meat that comes from the cow. So it means that to get meat in your body, you don't originally have to eat meat. Lions, you know. So if technically speaking, I don't know all the biology and all of that, but I know this from the Bible, and I also know this is it is actually feasible from science. It just needs a little bit of research, you know, and people to go and work on it. You know, if a cow, see how big cows are. See how big, look at the amount of muscle and meat that is inside them. And all they eat is grass. It means that there is something inside grass that can convert and come back to muscle and sinew. Therefore, the lion, what does he have? He also has muscle and sinew. So if he eats grass, the same grass can produce muscle and sinew inside the lion as it does inside the cow.
The same thing for you, carnivores. That is why people argue that we can live on a vegetarian diet. You don't really have to eat meat. Now, don't go and preach that as a doctrine. Let's leave it alone. Praise the Lord. The million if you want to be a vegetarian, but now you can whack all the meat you want. Praise the Lord. Amen. But seriously, you know, you see a distortion, you know, and Isaiah captures this, you know, saying they shall not hurt. Why would they not hurt or destroy? Because the source of destruction, the source of hurt has been removed. Hence the scripture. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you bind the thief, no stealing, no killing. Is it clear? Now, that's going to be in the millennium. But I can simulate that condition now through prevailing prayer. Hence this message. Is this clear? In other words, I'm not in the millennium, but I can create the conditions of the millennium within a particular sphere of geography, you know, that I said wherever and whenever. Because it's also time dependent. If the king stop operating, the old conditions will come back in because we are not yet in the millennium. But if you have a string of kings, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, if you have a string of kings and you concatenate their prayers together, you can actually create those millennium conditions on a permanent basis in a particular place. Depends on where the kings are. Nekramasufrene. This stuff is good. Glory be to God. Every day I read this Bible, I respect it more. This same Bible. Now, it's not surprising. It was written by the most intelligent person. I don't know why Christians don't respect their Bible, though. They don't respect their Bible. No, they don't respect God. God is infinitely intelligent. We are just playing around. We don't even scratch the surface. But they will see you before this age ends. People with the ability of the mind of Christ. Amen. You know, Amen. Tremendous photographic memory. tremendous mathematical ability, tremendous language learning skills, tremendous artistic skills, tremendous musical talents. There has to be music there. God loves music. Music, you know, whenever I think about music, it has to be God. It came from, that's why he made Lucifer. That's why the devil is very good in music. It's rap and distortion. You know, but the original comes from God. One thing that I'm a physicist, I believe in physics, maths, and all of that, and I thank God for it. But personally, I place Handel's Messiah on the same level as Newton's equations. It is pure revelation. I personally, how can you, you can't even think of it. Those of the Bible channels who play classical, they will tell you that man, even to play it, sometimes we have to go and rent people. Bible channel, no be so. There are portions of Handel's Messiah he cannot play. It's so complicated. You have to get some people, you know, and somebody wrote it. You know how he got it? He fasted and prayed. And then he was hearing the music in heaven. And then he quickly scribbled it and wrote it down. Different parts. The glory of the Lord and all of that. I'm not a musician, but I appreciate, you know, when you hear it, you know this from heaven. He will take Isaiah, then he will take Matthew, then he will take and blend them. Handel's Messiah is a masterpiece. Second to none is God. God is just showing us sample. You say, if you people get close to me, I will show you great and wondrous things that thou knowest not. You know, but you like your eba too much. You like it. I was like, okay, you come close to me. God. Exactly. And we enjoy our carnality, our chicken Christianity, pecking all over the whole place. They're flying in the heavens. Colossians. So, in summary, the millennial millennial blessings. In summary, I'm putting concatenating everything together. Number one, instant answers to prayers. Why is it instant? There is no power in the air to oppose it. Number two, permanent, and put the word permanent in capital. Permanent divine protection that they shall not hurt or destroy. In all my holy mount, permanent divine protection from spiritual and physical harm. Number three, long life with simultaneous renewal of youth. Long life. I said this last time, but I want to repeat it today and probably amplify it. As I speak now, I am 55 years old. I'm going to be 56 in May, by the grace of God. My wife's 55. We have people here. Papa Afin is very close to 90, 80, late 80s. Mama Afin was 80 the other day. Mom Dukwe, 85. You know, and we have people like that, you know. Josiah Ola is, I'm sure he's 80, almost 80, if he's not past 80. You know, and Mr. Ajala, and so many of us like this. See these people. As these millennial conditions and these millennial blessings start coming to manifestation, do you understand? In 20 years' time, Papa Afin will be 110.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, you would think that, I don't want to be 110, no. You know, we'll be too old. You can't move around again. That's not going to happen. Amen. Their youth is going to be renewed. Amen. So when you see when he's 110, start looking like he looked when he was 65.
is going to be common in the church. Not everybody, but it, not just here, you know, in Nigeria, America, everywhere. We're going to see people. There are people now who are in their 80s and in their 90s, you know, who you think the end of their life is coming. But because of these blessings that are going to come, do you understand? And they are going to partake, and I'm going to show you that message of next week. You know, they're going to, some of them will partake of these things, and their youth will be renewed like the eagles. Do you understand? So you're going to start seeing a man who is 100 years old, but you won't know. You think he's 40. Then you see somebody who is old enough to be your great grandmother. What if a toaster? But because she's a nice Christian and she loves the Lord, she won't tell you she's your grandmother. She'll just be looking at you. She'll say, God bless you. God bless you. Then she'll say, you know, you just may not know. I'm old enough to be your great-grandmother. When she tells you that one, everything that's doing you will just come. You know, we're going to see things like that. It's going to be a common, well, not common, but it will be a mark, a sign. You know, they're getting older, but they're getting younger. Amen. Something happened, not to me, but so it was recorded. I actually mentioned this in my last preaching. I think I mentioned it last week. I talked about Roland Barthes. God, I have this. How many people have read the book Angels on Assignment? It's a backslide. If you have not read it, it's a backslide. I'm joking. Cool. Online today, Google it. Angel's Assignment. There is a website where it's free PDF. Just download it, read it before you come next week. Homework. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a great book, and I shared this. You know, it's a true book because you know the things Gabriel shared with Roland Barthes. Roland Barthes had no clue because Roland Barthes is Assemblies of God. I was Assemblies of God. They don't teach us those things in Assemblies of God. Trust me. Amen. Everything is there. Even the Feast of Tabernacles. The whole thing. Gabriel broke it down for him. The second coming. The spiritual death of Christ. Everything is inside that book. Anyway. Now. One of the things Roland Barthes said. It stuck with me. I think it was Gabriel and Kirione. Kirione is another angel. Kirione was the angel that was at Jericho. He was one of the guys who led the assault on the wall of Jericho. He told Roland Barthes, you know, and he was also at the Red Sea. His eyes were shining like this when he was telling Roland Barthes. He said, "We yanked off their chariot wheels." and then one day Michael too came. One of the visions. Yes, Michael came. He said there was one angel. He was different from the others. He said he had a fiery countenance. You know, and then Gabriel said, "Michael." And Michael said, he said, "I'm tired of respecting Lucifer." He said, "I'm waiting for the day when God will give me the go ahead. And I'm going to clear him and all these angels out of the heavens." Hallelujah. That's how I know the book is true. I won't read it in a minute. Anyway, so Roland Barthes was commenting. He said he looked at Gabriel, looked at Michael, look at all these guys. You know, about 8, 9, 10 feet tall, you know. He said he looks as if he's 25. This word. He said, he looks like a 25-year-old boy. He said, you cannot believe that he's older than the earth. Yeah. They're not 6,000 years old, though. They're billions. They were made long before. He said, he was just looking at them. He said, you can't believe. He said, they look so cool. You know, he said, I can't believe he's 20. He looks like a 25-year-old boy.
Their youth is being renewed constantly. That's what we call everlasting life. Zoe. As you are growing older, you will start looking younger. You won't go down to when you're a boy, but you know, you just look like in your 30s, in your 40s, good health. Everything will be working. The life of God made manifest in your mortal flesh. I see you every day, you'll be looking fresh. Glory be to God. Whoa, Sashel.
Amen. Long life with youth renewal. Amen. Then, I got it all written here. Okay. Good health. And great, tremendous prosperity. So that the church become the most powerful institution on the earth. All those things are in the Bible. But we're not going to see them until the blessings of the age to come start becoming manifest. Are you listening to me? Okay. So this is the summary. You know, instant answers to prayers, permanent protection, long life with youth renewal, good health, tremendous prosperity. You know, that's why we saw those blessings, you know, that we eat, they will long enjoy the labor of their hands, they will drink, and you see on the other side, people who don't, you know, obey God, and they're still Christians, part of the cluster in the vine, but some were good, some were bad. So they said, don't destroy it not. You know, we saw all of that last week. Now, let's move on to the business of today. The kingdom, now, the reason for the blessings of the age to come. Why will God allow us in this age to simulate or bring into manifestation the blessings of the millennial age to come? The answer is so simple. It's for a witness. This, you can now understand this gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is actually the age to come. Shall be preached to all ethnos for a witness. Then the end will come. So what's going to happen is similar to what happened with Israel in Egypt. Israel was in Goshen. Israel was enjoying blessing while the rest of Egypt was suffering. I'm just going to bring one example because there's so many, but I'm just going to bring one, you know, to show you. And that's what's going to happen during, as we enter this manifestation of the sons of God, these blessings of the age to come. The blessing of the age to come will be so manifest amongst whenever and wherever spiritual kings of the Davidic destiny are in operation. And when they're in operation, then the other people who are not under that covering and who are not enjoying that will see what is happening and they will attract them. That's the whole purpose. God is so nice. He wants to help. He wants to save everybody. So he brings something that will yaelenu, so that you will be attracted and you will be saved. Are you listening to me? Look at Exodus chapter 9. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And look at verses 25 and 26. Exodus. Trust me, it's in the Old Testament, second book of the Bible. Even you up there can miss that. Okay. And the hailstone, I didn't hear you, smote throughout all the land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail, that's what came on me yesterday. Can you imagine? The devil, you know, smote every beast of the, every herb of the field and break every tree. That happened yesterday. Pastor Andrew broke the trees as we're coming on the road from Mushogo. You know, not every tree, but he broke some trees, you know. Break every tree of the field. Next verse. Only, everybody shout it.
Only.
I didn't hear you.
Only.
In the land of Goshen. Where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Permanent protection. So this is an example. So God will make a distinction.
according to the scripture, between his people, and not just any Christian, but those who are, you know, serving God properly, and others. And people will see it. They'll see the difference. Ah, and that place there, it's not happening today. We are still dying. We are still sick. We are still having accidents. The devil is still doing what he likes. Those, and yeah, these people, and they say, I want to go and find out. Hence cometh the scripture. It says, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord's house, for he shall, to the God of Jacob, he will teach us. We want to know how to get this blessing. So he will teach us his ways. Is it clear? Is it clear? Okay. So we can move on now. That's the main reason to be a witness to all ethnos on the earth, so that they can be attracted, and then we can have every tribe, tongue, and kindred. They can be saved. They can be. Then the rapture will happen, and then we're good. We're gone. Now, how is this thing going to happen? The way the blessings of the millennium are going to come in this age is by prevailing, us prevailing in the heavens. Now, Revelation chapter 12. Am I moving with anybody here? Or let me correct that. Is anybody moving with me? All right. Revelation chapter 12. Hello. The Lord have mercy. Revelation chapter 12. And let us look at verse 7. This is what I was talking about the other time about Michael. You know, Revelation chapter 12. And Michael is a tough guy. You don't want to mess with him. And there was war in heaven. I didn't hear you. There was war on earth. No, in heaven. In heaven. For the benefit of... We have an international audience listening to us. I don't know where people are at different levels. The scripture speaks of three heavens. I'll talk about the third heaven. Even in science, even in astronomy, but not astrology, you know, we know that there are heavens and there are heavens. I was just sharing some with you during the Bible study. Do you understand? You look up here now. Do you understand? If you just look up from here, where you are sitting now, you see the clouds. It's just the atmosphere around the earth. There's nothing beyond that too. I call outer space. When you move out of the gravitational pull of the earth, and you get out of there, then you'll be going to another realm. You start seeing all the different planets. And the sun. It's a heaven. So the one we see here is a heaven. But then there's another heaven for that one. Praise the Lord. And then when you get out of our solar system, you know, you're still in a galaxy. Then you now still see a great maze of heavens that are still far, far, far above you. Hence the scripture, the heaven. Even the heavens of heavens. The scripture uses two plurals. How is that scripture? You know, there's one other scripture where it says the heavens, even the heavens of heavens, cannot contain thee. Look for it anyway. Whenever you find it, I've made my point. So wait. Well, this heaven here is the one. The second heavens is a group, actually, because there are groups of heavens. There's these physical heavens, these ones I just described to you. Then there's the second, which is spiritual. That's where the devil reigns. You've heard of principalities and powers. Where? In heavenly places. It's really heavenly places. And they control what's going on the earth. Then there's the third heaven where God rules. Where God lives and where God reigns. The third heaven is that's why we call him the Most High God. It means there are other high gods. There is the Most High God. There are other gods though, but they are high, but they are not Most High. Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. So what you call heaven is where he puts his leg.
I don't want to go there this afternoon. Let me stay with my message. Amen. You know, the Most High God. So what happens anyway, cut a long story short, is that when God sends an answer to prayer, He sends an angel, they have to go through the second heavens to come into this, our own first group of heavens, before it gets into the earth and manifests. Hello? So, Lucifer, the devil and his people, you know, they operate in the second heavens. So their job is to try and block the angels that are bringing the answer from the third heaven via the second heaven into our own heaven and into the earth. Is it clear? That's why you have to pray. That's why Daniel had to pray for 21 days. When the angel, the same Gabriel, when he finally got through, Gabriel told him a great truth that we all need to learn from. And he said, from the very first day, God had dispatched me. The answer was already on the way. May you not stop praying when your answer is on the way. May you not stop. So many Christians, they stop praying when the prayer is on the answer is on the way. Spiritual laziness, too much food, too much sleep is robbing so many Christians of prayer, of answers to prayer. So the answer was already on the way. Now Daniel was smart enough to realize that he had to fast and pray. He had the partial fast, kind of fast we're doing now. He would break in the evenings, he had no pleasant bread, but he was praying. You know. So 21 days later, the angel appears to him and tells him this great truth. He said, from the very first day, he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me, means that there was a fight. 120 days. Some things take more than 5 days, oh. Some things take more than 20 days. Some things take years. That's why prayer is not a trial and error business. It's a lifestyle. This living by faith is not, oh, I got to try. No. It's a lifestyle. Some things 24 hours. Some things 3 days. Some things 21 days. Some things 1 year. Some things 25 years. Abraham, 25. The important thing is that the answer came. The issue is this. I'm going to stand for as long as it takes. Come on, man. Give the Lord a clap offering. I'm not. Look. This childish, lazy Christianity must stop. Serve notice on your enemy that I'm not quitting. I'm going to be here. I will pray until the answer comes. Glory to God. I'm not one of those Christians who prays for 2 weeks and quits. So Satan, you're in trouble. That is the mentality that you need to win. After 3 weeks, after 1 year, I don't know what the devil is doing. This is my wife that you see. Mommy Sarah, I prayed for one full year. Oh yes, true story. I had 1 day a week. I'm not preaching what I didn't do. 1 day a week. I pray for life. I didn't know who it was. I didn't put anybody's name there. And I wasn't going to Queen's Hall. Look at her sister. You get an Ishmael. If you want the original, go and pray. Little did I know, she, through my intercession, she got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know God was preparing her. She said, I'm doing prayer. She prays like me. Was my friends who were telling me, sister, young Christian neighbor, oh, pray. Intercession, Legon. Was Moses, and I was my friend, you know, and I was not my friend, you know, this is sister, hey, who did revelation? Then I got interested. The rest is history. Jacafiele, it's a gist for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Constant prayer. Constant, without seeing anything. Just pray in the spirit. Leave it. 1 hour. Stop. Go and pray about other things. It was not the only thing in my life. And it was no, God, give me sister. God, I was praying online prayer, getting revelation knowledge. I was doing a lot of other very, very interesting things. It was just one of those things. It came when it will come. So it was not a distraction. Are you listening to me? I don't know why God is telling me to do this. But... And there was war in heaven. Open your mouths. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Incidentally, the word dragon is scriptural. It's John's description of Lucifer. And the dragon fought, and his angels. Stop! The dragon too has angels. I said the dragon too has angels. Don't ever forget. From what the little we know, the Bible doesn't share everything with us, but it just gives us a little, and that's enough for us to move with. You understand? There were three archangels: Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Lucifer was the one who rebelled, and the Bible, in this in Revelation chapter 12, just cut a long story short, he took about 1/3 of the angels. But 2/3 stay faithful to God. Amen. I want to say this thing about the devil, because Christians are so silly when it comes to the devil, and so childish, and so myopic, you know, short-sighted, you know. Listen to what I'm about to say, and listen to it very carefully. Satan is a worthy adversary. He is not a pushover, but he's not God. Amen. And he has been and can be defeated. Jesus has already defeated him for you, and you can defeat him in your personal life. Is this clear? Are you following me? But he is not a pushover. How can he be? He was made by God. What are you talking about? Go and read his credentials, his CV. In Revelation chapter, is it 12? Or 28, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28, go and read his CV. Amen. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so. Thou summest up the sum of wisdom, perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. That's not a guy you can just come and push around. Are you following? The precious stones were thy covering. I was doing a study recently on the stones. Kromakaya. You know, all those stones, go and read them, carbuncle and everything. You see the same stones in Revelation. You see, watch this, you see the same stones on the breast of the high priest. But there are two or three stones Satan didn't have. Another study for another day. He's not God. But he was close to God. And he has wisdom. And he has power. The Bible says even the archangel respected him. He can't. It was their senior. This question of don't talk to anybody anyhow. The Bible says even the angels that have greater power and authority, they don't talk. Listen. Say the Lord rebuke. Or to bear. We can. Because of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I don't know if you know this, so those of us who are spiritually literate, the angels are under us. That is why an archangel cannot rebuke Satan, but you can. Amen. Give the Lord another clap offering. Olorun aja pari message leave you. What if Lord Jebani? Please go back to Revelation. I will preach this message another day. The stones of the temple. And there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Watch this. Next verse. And prevailed not. That's why this message is titled Prevailing in the Heaven. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. It's talking about the second heavens. Now, very important points here. They had a place. Have a place. This is still in the future. They do have a place in the heavens. But a day is coming. That was what Michael was telling Roland Bach. A day is coming when they're going to be totally removed. Permanently. Amen. Thrusting. When we go up, they come down. It's one of the things of the rapture. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. We go up, they come down. And then woe to those who are still on the earth. That's why you don't want to miss the first flight. Another message for another day. Are you listening to me? We go up, they come down. A day is coming where we're going to completely remove them. But they're there now. Paul tells us that they're there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Hey, Jesus removed them. Jesus overcame them in hell, took from them the keys of death and hell, gave us the authority so that we can then simulate the familiar conditions now. Hence, he taught us, pray, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a simulating, it's a prayer of bringing the blessings of the age to come. So what we call the Lord's Prayer has inside it bringing the blessings of the age to come. That's why he taught us that prayer. I give you, I have given you authority over all the world. You trample on lions and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He can deal with him. He's still there, but you can deal with him, and it will be as if he's not there. The Yoruba people have a saying. They will say, God help me. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Praise the Lord. You know, where they'll say, ko alaye, ko alaye, ko alaye, then ko alaye. Yeah, did I get it? What that means is that you are alive. Then you are not only alive, you are alive and well, and then you are in the correct position that you are supposed to be. You can be alive. Olorun je o. Ashenda. You know, you can be alive and not in the correct position. You can be alive as though pe o wa nbe but like pe o si nbe. Olorun je o ribe o. You know, Yoruba, all, not all our prayers, but so many of our prayers are so negative. It's always what God will not do. I want to find out when we start saying what God will do. Anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, so what happens is Satan is there, but you can't move him from his position. So he's there as if he's not there, simulating the millennial conditions. He's there. But if you bombard him enough, do you understand? You will create a permanent pathway in the heavens that no devil can interfere with. You know why? It is completely lined with angels. And they are daring. They're just daring them. Come and try. You cannot understand what I say all the time. You know, we just say spiritual, we don't. You say, by the force of spiritual arms through the ministry of angels. who brought the answer to Daniel's prayer. King of the demon of Persia, the prince, he was there. But it was as if he was not there. By the time those angels finished with him, after 21 days, do you understand? They created a path through the second heavens and brought the answer to Daniel. And the devil could do nothing about it. He was there, but it was as if he was not there. He got the answer, yeah. Says the man, greatly beloved. You know, I was giving them the history on Tuesday, you know, about Persia. It's very interesting. That Daniel's prayer was so effective. The intercession was so powerful. It lasted 200-300 years. You know, after Daniel, do you understand? Then Cyrus. This Cyrus, God stirred him up. Then he gave power to the Jews, told them to go and build their temple. Some didn't go. The part of the one who didn't go at the ones that left was Esther. I was like, no, it's not good to be in the wrong place. The devil wanted to finish them. But God now raised up Esther. Oh, yes, so they should have gone. Not all of them left. They didn't want to travel all the way. It was too inconvenient. Sound familiar? I stayed in Persia. When they had been given this law, this was 4 generations before Ahasuerus. So anyway, the important point is that Daniel's prayer was so effective that the Jews continued to get favor from one generation of Persian kings to another. From one generation, by the time of Esther, because of, you know, things were getting a little bit testy, you know, but thank God for the Mordecai, you know, and they woke up and they prayed. Like Pastor Wally brought out so beautifully. You know, it will show you Esther's complacency. How come Esther, who is inside the palace, did not know about the decree? And it took Mordecai outside the palace to show you that within backslide. She had gotten complacent. The comfort of the palace had begun to choke the word. She couldn't see things clearly. It took Mordecai's sharp rebuke. The Bible says, rebuke them sharply. He did not, you know, palliate his words. She said, yeah, the king has not called me for 30 days. And if he hasn't called me, you know, if I go there, he will, and we're the long king's name, but praise the Lord. You know, if I'm not, he can cut my head off. And it's true. It shows you how beastly. No wonder why the Bible called it beast. That is the best way to describe. Even our politicians today, you can see many of them are beasts. You can see the beastly nature. It's a spirit. You know, the cocker. Mordecai just came home to her. He said, check it out. If you don't do it, God will raise help from somewhere else. And what the, and it was his knee. So that's why we know no man after the flesh. You can't allow family sentiments to come into spiritual things. He told her straight to his face. His knees. He said, if you don't do it, God will raise another person and you and your father's house will be destroyed. Babe, that's in Yoruba. You know, that's, I said it deliberately. How can a man of God say such a thing? He was just telling her the reality. She woke up quick. All the nonsense I was doing her inside the palace will flash off. She went, yes, uncle. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even though I'm queen, yes, sir. Says, fast for me. I too, and me and my maidens, we will fast for 3 days. Then I will go before the king. And if I perish, I perish. She's not talking like a soldier. Before, she was misbehaving all over the whole place. That's the problem of comfort. That's our problem. Once God blesses us, and we marry the king, and we are inside the palace,
And God says, prayer meeting could need more. It was when Nigeria was in problem. Now, you know, the election is over. Everything is fine. It is time for me to enjoy. Let me enjoy. And me and my children, let us enjoy the good things of life. And before you know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things will gradually creep in and choke the word. It's good to enjoy you. You want to finish this, people? I want to give me one scripture. I'm not going to preach it. Amen. You know, it's so easy. It's where you get blessed. You know, I'm learning something. I haven't perfected it. My wife and I were learning something, but we're perfecting it. I'm learning how to enjoy the good things of life. The Bible says we should enjoy all things richly and not affect my spirituality. This last weekend, there were two family functions we had to go for. Close family. We had to go, but we're fasting. We went, but we didn't eat. Total silence. Party. You know, our family, cousins, everybody was dancing. We're doing like this. We didn't get up and dance, but we're doing like this. You know, smiling. They enjoyed it. They were so happy. So my cousin came and said, you know, we're fasting. We're praying for Nigeria. Everybody understands. When you say Nigeria, everybody says, yes. Nigeria needs prayer. Everybody, nobody was angry. God bless you. In fact, my cousin said, you are praying for our own sins. Only, you know, and they're traditional Christians. So they say, you know, it's Lent anyway, it's Lent, so we understand. I say, yes, it's Lent. That was on Friday. Then I had to go to, on Thursday, then I had to go to Brother Fred yesterday. I didn't eat. I ate in the night when we got there. I broke in the evening, but during the day reception after the service, I sat down. They were singing. I just enjoyed, you know, with my friends, and Brother Fred went around, said hello to people. I had a very nice time. I eat. Of course, Brother Fred is a spiritual man, and Sister Tino. Immediately, I said, you know, we're doing fast. I said, you know, that's why Sarah couldn't come, you know, and all of that. So we're doing fasting and prayer for Nigeria, you know. And I said, Pastor Libby, that's very important. I understand. So when the people were coming to serve me, said, don't leave, Pastor. Yeah. Enjoy good things richly. Do you understand? No, I don't do that every party. So it doesn't have to be that silent, praise the Lord. When you're praying and you're fasting, you can. You understand? Learn, you know, to use the things of this world lightly. Use them. Enjoy them. Do you understand? My car, this is the car that we bought 6 years ago, the Sequoia. It didn't have television inside. I have never watched it. Now, there are two reasons for that. One reason is not because I don't want to watch. You know, because of Nigerian roads. Because of the pothole and everything. You know, before you go, that kind of car, you enjoy it on an autobahn. When there's no bump and then you can go for 6 hours. If I pray for 3 hours, I might watch a nice movie. I don't mind. You know, it's nothing wrong. Please, don't misunderstand me. You know, the second reason, of course, is temperance. Because most of the time I'm on short journeys, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, and I have to pray. I have time. Simple. Yet, I'm enjoying it richly. The car is serving its purpose. The car was not bought for watching film. Especially African magic. I had to put that one inside. Praise the Lord! Oh my God, our God have mercy on me. Amen. Amen. So we have to prevail in the heavens by praying. When we begin to pray, you know, the Holy Spirit begins to release the power of God into the air with travail and tongues and all of that. I won't go in because it's not a prayer seminar. And then the angels of God will now use that power to create, manipulate men and circumstances and bring the manifestation of the answer to prayer. Now, as we do this, ultimately, this is where we're going. We haven't got there yet. We're on the way. We want to have spiritual control of the air, so as to influence the thinking of men. That's where we're going. And this ultimate is Jesus. Oh my God, I have to finish this today. This ultimate is seen in Isaiah 25. Everybody go to Isaiah 25. Am I helping anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? I don't know if I have to break this message into four. Isaiah 25. And look at verses 6 through 9. He talks about the feast. But my punchline here, because of time, is he says, this mountain there is not Mount Zion in Jerusalem. It's a church. It's the Mount Zion. It's the perfect church. Okay? So it's symbolic. You know, shall the Lord of hosts make a feast unto all people of five things, feast of wines, kind of message I'm giving you, feast of tabernacles. It's revelation knowledge. You know, full of marrow, of wines, well refined. Next verse, verse 7. Aha! But let me just stop here for now. And he will destroy where? In this. Remember, it is whenever and wherever. The face of the covering cast over what? All people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. There is a spiritual blindness that Satan imposes by the power in the air. When the church begins to pray and prevail in the heavens, we now begin to neutralize that spiritual influence, and suddenly people's eyes begin to open. And they begin. Nigeria, there is a test run going on in Nigeria as I speak. All these prayers, we are actually as this fast and pray that we're doing for this life is actually creating it. We can see what happened in the last 6 weeks. Compare the spiritual atmosphere then to today. People, I told you when I was giving my announcements, even strong political actors, you know, who were 6 weeks ago spitting fire, are now saying Nigerians should submit to the will of God. People who before would never even think that one other thing can be the will of God, they completely ruled it out. The same people again say, let us submit to the will of God. What happened? Their thinking is changing. Why? Because the power of the air. Is it clear? So we have a practical simulation. We're actually running an experiment right now in Nigeria. You know, we're simulating it right now as we speak. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how is this thing going to be done? Now, I promise I'll try and close. I don't want this to spill into the next message. So as long as possible, I'll try and just, you know, but whatever. If I don't finish properly, I'll continue next week. How will it be done? I just hit it running. It's by united praying in the Spirit. Underline two expressions. United and praying in the Spirit. See, the church is always talking about unity, 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 unity. Unity is a spiritual thing. You can't manufacture it. United. The power of praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit is twofold. Number one, it is the utterance of the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit and Jesus that are actually dictating the prayer. So God is in control of it. And it forces us to be united because you don't know what you are saying. Isn't God smart? You see, you can disagree with me in the understanding, but you cannot disagree with me in the Spirit. It's totally out of your control. God did it deliberately. He did it deliberately. So he will have at his disposal The prayers of his people for him to move as he likes. To fulfill not our will, but his will. Give the Lord a clap offering. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray with groans which cannot be uttered. You know, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You can't use tongues for what you like. That's why most Christians don't pray much in tongues. They won't go. There's nothing wrong in him doing it when your own is in his desire. It says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, then he will do that. But he can't just bear shit here. Hello, somebody. Hello. Mm-mm. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But he needs tongues. So what he does, I've shared this, you know, I share it every Tuesday to some degree, you know, is that he takes the prayers of his people, you know, and then he joins them together in the Spirit. That's why it's united prayer in the Spirit. You know, exponentially. Again, only God. That's why the scripture says one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. For every one you add, you don't add, you raise it to a power of 10. Ah! You know, if I'm praying and he's praying, and you add us together to be 1 plus 1, which will be equal to 2. So if I'm putting 1,000 to flight and he joins me, it would have been 2,000 with arithmetic addition. But God doesn't do that. He uses it's not even geometric, it's raised to the power of 10. It's far more powerful. So imagine there's 100 Christians who are serious. Can't put in your calculator, it will blow up. There are few, if you put it to any calculator, 10 to power 100, and you try and go above it, it will just give you E. The thing doesn't have the capacity to calculate it. That is why Paul called it exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. So imagine 100 of us. Gideon's army. 200, 300. So what he does is that he gets them concatenates it together, groups it. Because you see, many of us can't even put 10,000 to flight. That's how weak a lot of the church is. But don't be discouraged. So, you know, instead of putting 10,000, you know, one will put 1,000 to flight. Some people can't even put 1,000 to flight. Some people can't even put 500 to flight. Some guy will put 10. But if you get 10, if you get 1,000, who can put 10 to flight? Then we'll finally get 10,000. God uses everything. Give the Lord a clap offering. Even if the guy is weak and he goes into intercessory school, he prays only well for 5 minutes. And sleeps the right, but his heart is right. And he wants to serve God. The little 10 that he takes, God will take it. Give me that 10. Then he will go to the other person who is a little bit more diligent. You understand? Now one is not doing 1,000, but he's doing 100. He will add it to the other 10, or the 110. Now you keep looking through the congregation, the Holy Ghost. And you start, pick 10 here, pick 20 here, pick 30 here, pick 40 here, pick 50 here. By the time he has gone round, he has enough to do what he wants to do. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now you can understand, grouped and combine together in powers of 10.
Amen.
By that which every joint supplies. Nobody's useless. And that saint, who he may not be very strong, but he's sincere. He starts with 10. Next week when he comes, he's gone to 15. In 3 months' time, that same person is now putting out 500. His capacity has increased. In a year, that same person is now putting out 1,000. So don't be discouraged. Come. Fast. Pray. Put out the little you can. And with time, you will grow. A little one shall become 1,000. And a small one, a strong nation. You know, do you know the population of small nations? Nigeria is considered to be a big nation. Most small nations, when we say a nation is small, we're looking at anything between 5 and 20 million. You say it's small, like Israel. Israel is about 10 million, say small. You know, nations like Nigeria, which are 100 million, are considered to be large nations. You will grow. The young shall grow. Somebody name that after something. Call on Shanua. Hallelujah. So God, this truth, I've already quoted those ones. Quickly go to Psalm 133. God will help us. Talk to your neighbor, say, God help pastor. And help me not to sleep. You see what we are preaching is much more important than the air at home. This is the life of our nation. This is our own life we're talking about. Our destiny we're talking about is more important than anything.
Yeah.
Good. Psalm 133. This explains, oh Jesus help me. Yes. The concept of the unity in the spirit. He says, how behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is. He is looking for a natural illustration to explain a spiritual truth. It is. It's not all, but it is like. It is like the precious ointment that round upon the head. It starts from the head. Then it round down the beard. Speaking of maturity, even Aaron's beard. And then went down, talking about the body of Christ, down to the skirts. Nobody's left out. The person that can bring 10, bring your 10. The person that can bring your 15, bring your 15. The person that can bring 20, bring your 20. Right down. It starts from the head. And it goes down, 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 onto the skirts. Ah, look at the next verse. It blew your mind. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains. Remember, it is in this mountain we are going to destroy the face of the covering. Upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. What is it? Even Zoe. So what do we need? Very simple. Forgive one another. That's why we wash feet. Attitude is everything. Attitude can destroy this thing. That's why somebody who should be putting out 500 is putting out 10 because he has a wrong attitude. He's choking the power. Thank God, though, God will still use some of it. But why don't you increase that then? Your bowels are straightened. Be open. Be enlarged. Open that attitude. So that power can flow. Insufficient measure. Are you listening to me? So what happens is this God conquered that. That's why Paul now says, one term that I just mentioned, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So you have to make an effort. So when somebody offends you, what do you do? He says, if any man sees, brother, I say, even with your thoughts, just preach it this morning. Just say, Lord, mercy, life, give it to him. Stop holding anything. I know what he did. Incidentally, you've done worse things. Maybe you don't remember. Take the log that is out of your eye so you can see clearly to take the mote out of your brother. Yes, he has done many bad things. But you too, incidentally, I think the Lord remembers a few bad things you too did. And I think he forgave you. You don't have a case. Forgive him. Ask life for them. Even at the, you see, our thoughts are so, you know, that's why I thought about thoughts. Yeah, our thoughts are so important. You can either be giving life or death. Think good things about your people. That friend, that wife, that husband, that brother, that sister, that mother, that father, that mother-in-law. You know, even if they did something bad, think life for them. That's how they will change you. You talk, keep talking about their problem and they will get worse. Keep gossiping. Get everybody. Your name is Radio OYU. Pray. That 5 minutes you spent talking to somebody, if you spend the same 5 minutes saying, Father, I ask life for that person, forgive them, ask, you know, I cleanse them with the blood. You say, whoever sins, I remit. Whoever. Blank check. He didn't say bad, good, ugly. Whoever. I remit their sins. I ask life for them. You know, pray in tongues. Quick. You've given something out instead of taking something back. Unto the edifying, that which every joint supplies, unto the edifying of itself, where in love. Can you see why it's not working? The man wrote the book and he gave it to us. And we decided to do our own thing. Hello? No, I gotta close. Oh, Jesus, help me. Pray for me. I know some of you are thinking, think good for me, think good for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to go here. And then I will stop. Jesus, help me. Amen. You don't want Jesus to come home. What I mean by that is that if it's Jesus who is preaching, Jesus didn't let them go. They will be there for 3 days. Jesus will be preaching. You know, the Bible says he will preach to the multitudes until it was evening. What's the time now? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody, I want to show you something that is happening as I speak. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 17. Talking about unity in the spirit. He did not say unity in location. He did not say unity in denomination. He did not say, you know, unity in uniform. See all these funny canals, you know. No. It's unity in the spirit. I remember when I was a young Christian, this song we used to sing. I don't care what church you belong to, but as long as on Jesus you stand, if by faith through grace you have been saved, you are my brother. So give. Amen. And we will share you more. That's why we have this low quality Christianity. I share you as a Baptist, as a Pentecostal. There's no way I've not been. I've done SU, I've done Evangelical, I've done SCM. That's why I'm who I am today. Amen. And I'm a serious Christian. I'm a serious Christian. Pastor was telling me on this trip, you know, when he was a young Christian, he was in Kaet. He used one village we passed on the way to Kogi State. He said, we used to come to this village. I know. I said, Andrew, how do you know? I said, we used to come and do evangelism here. That's why he's Pastor Andrew. It's the truth. That's why he's different from other people. That's why Christians, any small inconvenience. Small, it doesn't. Tojo Barro one in our church. Ojo, last one. There's a lion in the way, I shall be slain. Call on Shanoa. Are you listening to me? And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you come peaceably unto me to help me, I want you to scream that next phrase, my heart shall be knit unto you. But if you come to betray me to my enemies, God will, you know. The point is this. There was a, before David went to Hebron, before he was anointed as king, just about the same, almost similar as when Saul's dying, God began to do something. He began to touch the hearts of other Israel, even of the tribe of Benjamin, who were Saul's people, that this David is the right person. So they now came to come and join David. Then David made this great statement of what is happening in the spirit now. He said, my heart shall be knit with yours. There are people who are not in scripture pasture, but they're in scripture pasture. Recently, my wife and I were in California. I went to see Sister Gloria's sister. And she and her husband were telling us how they have been so discouraged about all the bad things that are going on inside the church. This one, adultery, this one, stealing money. He said, but God has helped them. They're going to a particular church. So my wife and I encouraged them. And they felt much better. So I told them, I said, the thing is on the internet. Our church said, the husband said, we'll be watching that. I said, George, just pray, little prayers we tell you to do, just do it. They're not here, but they're here. That's what God does. That's what God is. It's happening as I speak now. God is bringing people. And he's knitting our hearts. The word knit means to join. Unity of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? So what's happening is that they may not know all we know. They may not be doing all we're doing. That's okay. Do you understand? Even if it's the 10 they are bringing out, and the 15, and the 20, and the 100, and something, God is bringing them. He's bringing them. They are coming to join the house of David. And so, watch this. The mighty army and the power of God that is being generated is growing and growing and growing and growing exponentially to prevail in the heavens. Just before I close, I'm going to two more things. This last one, the last one. You know, Pastor Wale mentioned this the day he preached. He said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted. It means shall be. It means it was not originally. What is going to make the mountain of the Lord's house? How is it going to rise gradually until it gets above all hills? United prayer in the spirit. As God begins to divert more and more prayers in the spirit to the David church and calls the growth, do you understand? The church will start getting stronger and stronger. So its position in the heavens will start increasing. It will start rising. It will start rising. It will start rising until it gets above all hills. Then it will prevail in the heavens. and then effectively knock Satan out. It doesn't mean Satan will not be there, but the power that's coming out will be so much it will totally neutralize what Satan is doing, and these millennium conditions will now be simulated. This beautiful picture is shown in Ezekiel 47. Last scripture. This is where I must close. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ken Hagin actually prophesied this many years ago. He didn't quote the scripture, he just said it by the Spirit. And when you go back and check the scripture, you find, you see, the scripture here is, the church here is typified as a temple. So, from the altar, what they were singing today, under the door, do you understand? Water was oozing out. Let's read it. Ezekiel 47. I got to close. I promise I will close on this. Thank God. Only Pastor Larry said no problem, but that's okay. Ashe. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued. Now, everybody knows what water is. Power. The life of God. Living water. The power of God. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Okay. So, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. New day. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. Please give me this in the New International Version because of the Old English, so that it will be clear. Yes. And the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. Good. The water was coming out from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. So what was generating the power? The altar. The place of prayer. Are you listening to me? Next verse. And then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing west. So he now went round to go and see where the water was coming from. Hello! Jesus Lord. Hallelujah. And the water was flowing from the south side. Next verse. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and the water was ankle deep. Measure. He measured another, next verse. He measured up 1,000 cubits and led me through the water. It was now knee deep. Then he measured off 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. Something is happening here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me. And then he measured off 1,000, another 1,000, and now it was not a river. Hallelujah. That I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. Let's use a river that no one could cross. Let's just use the simple expression we also used to baptized. Total immersion. Ankle, knee, waist, and then spirit without measure. Nekarakatoshke friends. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. So I'll just summarize and close. Next verse. And he asked me, son of man, do you see this? And led me back to the bank of the river. Next verse. Thank you. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of, everybody notice the word trees, on each side of the river. Next verse. And he said unto me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to Araba, where it enters the sea. And when it enters into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. So there is one water that is purifying another water. Amen. What does the Bible call the people's waters? What was the horse sitting on? Next verse. As swarms of living creatures will live where
wherever the river flows. And there will be large numbers of fish. I will make you fishers of men. Because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So wherever the river flows, everything will live. Let me stop there. Let me stop there. Let me ask an intelligent question. You need to think. We probably read the Bible and we don't think. Amen? The source of the water is in the temple. But at the temple, the water is almost at the ground level. How come the water is increasing as you go farther away from the temple? How come you would have thought that the water would be large at the temple and then decrease outwardly? What's happening? As the perfect church begins to pray and it begins to ask for life for people, God will join more people to them. When he joins more people, the volume increases. So the first 1,000 little children, the next 1,000, no, the first 1,000 babies, the next 1,000 little children, the next 1,000 young men, the next 1,000 fathers. When you now have a river that nobody can, you cannot, it's without measure. And then it goes everywhere. Everywhere it goes, it brings life. So it's going to bring healing to the nations. The fish will live. Then some of the people in the nation will now become trees. They will live by the side of the river. Water. And they will begin to draw life from the water and bring forth fruit. Then shall come to pass that which the prophet has said, that he will make disciples of all nations. Wherever this river goes. We started, the river has already started flowing. Amen. As we pray more, more people are going to be, like I said, the one who has 10, 15, the little baby, he will take it. Then he will move on. Then he will take the ones who have given 100. Then he will move on. Then again, the ones who are taking 1,000. Then when you now group them exponentially, it will now become a mighty river. So for us to prevail in the heavens, let us practice united prayer in the spirit. Let us pray. Talk to God. United prayer in the spirit. And Satan can't do anything about it. It's a unity. Satan cannot stop because in the spirit. You see, because I'm praying in tongues, you're praying in tongues. We don't know what we're praying, but the Holy Ghost knows and he unites them. Amen. All that is required is a right heart. Forgiveness, love, and all of that. That's why initially you may not have too many, but after a while, it's 1,000, 1,000, 1,000 to get enough. And the church will prevail in the heavens. Talk to God.
There is a longing only you can feel, a raging tempest only you can still. My soul is thirsting, Lord, to know you as I know.
Drink from the river.
Drink from the river that flows before your throne.
Start again.
Bury the longing only you
can see. Jesus, help us.
Yeah.
Have done it, you do it afresh. If you have done it before, if you've not done it before, he wants a commitment to unity in the spirit, to prayer in particular in the spirit. A commitment. It doesn't matter what level you are, maybe you are 10, don't worry, you will grow. But he wants, you see, God looks at it, he is the sincerity. How blessed is it for both to dwell together in unity? Is the attitude. Once the heart is right, God is not so much interested in knowledge. He's interested in knowledge, but not at first. He's first of all interested in the heart. Then later, the knowledge will come through the good heart. The light and the life will come. Cornelius didn't have knowledge. He just had a good heart. Then God brought him the knowledge through Peter. No, so what I want you to do now is say, God, I'm going to pray in the spirit, even if it's 10 minutes every day. I commit to this. Many of us have passed that stage. Those who are watching on television, or maybe you're watching this thing on the internet, on the YouTube. I don't care where you are in the world. I don't care what language you speak. Commit to praying in the spirit on a daily basis.
Start with our little book, Keeping Yourself in the Love of God. 15 minutes, doesn't matter. Start there. Then gradually you will grow. It will grow. Trust me, it will grow. I did it before, so I know. But the issue is the heart. When those people came to David, David said, if you have come peaceably, my heart shall be knit with yours. When our hearts are knit together, then the life from the head can flow to you. That's the issue. The problem now is people, wrong hearts, wrong attitudes and things. You know, Jesus said, I'm talking about this next week, the covering of David. You know, he said, nobody can do a miracle in my name. And quickly, shortly afterwards, speak evil of. If the heart is wrong, the power can't flow. Raise the hand. Commit. I've said it in English. I'm sure you talked to God in your heart. We're going to pray together now. Commit in your heart to one, maintain a right attitude, forgive, ask for life, you know, wash feet, you know, Father, confess our sins in Jesus' name, you know, and then don't just say it mechanically like a robot, say it from the heart. I forgive, ask life for that person with your thoughts. God, that person has done that, but I ask life for them. I release them, you know, and then pray the Spirit. God will now take that prayer, that genuine, sincere prayer in the Spirit. He will now combine it with the prayers of hundreds, thousands of others all over the world. It's not a denomination thing. It's not a scripture pastor thing. It's a spirit thing. It's a thing of the body. And he will join it into this mighty river that he's going to use to show forth his glory. Wherever the river goes, the fish will live. Wherever the river goes, there will be trees on either side of the bank. And they will grow. And they will bring forth fruit and healing for the nations. Raise a hand. You're standing on the threshold of destiny. What will you do? Commit. I urge you. It's not to Olubi. It's not to Sarah. It's not to scripture pastor. Commit to united prayer in the Spirit on a daily basis. You don't worry. The Holy Ghost will take care of the unity. Just make sure. But make it. The issue has always been the heart. Make it from a clean heart. You clean your heart with the blood of Jesus and maintain an attitude, right attitude. That's all. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me that the church, through united prayer in the Spirit, must prevail in the heavens over Satan and his principalities and powers, so as to simulate the millennial conditions now in this age, tasting of the blessings of the age to come. I understand my part in this drama, that Lord, I have to contribute my part of united praying in the Spirit with a clean heart, pure motive. Oh God, I commit to this. I commit to this, to keep my heart by your blood with all diligence, so that out of it can flow the life and the power of God in sufficient measure as I pray in the Spirit. I recognize I am not alone, but you're joining me to a band of Christians all over the world, starting from here beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, but extending to every tribe, tongue, and kindred, so that your glory and your power, a river that is large enough to swim in, to be immersed in, will flow from the church to every nation and bring life to the fishes and the trees, symbolizing men who will be born again and later on as trees become disciples. Oh God, help me. Help me. Help me to fulfill this destiny in Jesus' name. Nekarakatofri. Shiketufriketolo. Zefrigitofri. Likatara. Nikutofre de Ramaturo Mashokoro, Nikutofre de Lomatofre Nengara, Zofreke Kaklamaturo, Lombor Komatusko Fre, Zafreka Klamaturo Mustofreshe, Tofri de Klamaturo Mustofreshe, Liprika Tofri Shoko,
Zefrikito, Tolomo Shaki, Frikatoro, Lambraka Tolomo Tofri Ningara, Tolomo Tolomo Tofri Dofreshe, Lombraka Tolomo Stofre, Lambrahos Tofreshe, Dunkar Tofresh, Lumbraka Tolomo Lambro Tofredera, Remo Tofre, Lapraka Tolomosh, Jeka Tofridele, Jeffridi, Nofridele, Nefridele, Jena Preda. Zifridi, Jakara, Nifridele, Nifridolo, Zofrede, Nifride, Nashkofridi, Nufridele, Nofridele, Nakatufride. In Jesus' name.
Just keep standing where you are. We're closing in a minute. Just pray for our healing. Touch your body wherever you are. Raise the other hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am legally healed and set free from every sickness and disease. Because himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So sickness has no legal right in my body. And therefore, now I come to enforce that legal right by his resurrection, life and power that I release now into my physical body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my kidney, my liver, all my internal organs, all of my blood vessels, and into every cell, the DNA of every cell in my body. I say, function error-free in the name of Jesus. I declare that I am healed by the resurrection, life, and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene, natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Nikatolo mashallah. Neprakatofri dikatofre. Liprikitoske fredes. Nikatolo mashallah protofresh. Lambrikitolo mashtufresh. Nogoglo matar. Zafri rikatofri. Lambra katoska, jeka riko, frika tolomosha, yiko kokroma tolomoro dofre, lambra katolom tolom tufri dofre, lambra kamatolomos tufri, lambra katufri, zofri kikromaro, lambra kamatulo, zefri, ura katolomos, zefri, lambra katolomotolo, rik tufri di gara, lefri di lemor, zefri getusko frene, no fridile. Lambrdalas, Shekito Fridi, Nifride, Nofredele, Zafri, Nofre, Nufridi, Langara, Shakik, Nofre, Nufri, Nofredele, Nofridele, Zafridele, Nukora, Nafridele, Nufridele, Nofri, Lagara, Nofridele, Nufridi, Nakatufris. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to share the grace and we're going to close the service. Let us remember our fasting and praying for the nation and the elections. Continue. We'll be here on Tuesday as normal to pray for the nation, you know, and personally in our different groups that we've been assigned to. Make sure you continue to pray. It's all part of this test run I spoke about, God using the church. Some would wonder, well, you know, if these things are true, how come all these years the church has not been able to do this? It's all a question of growth. It's only spiritual kings that can initiate the concatenation process. It's the Holy Spirit who does it, but he does it through spiritual kings. When there's no king in the land, every man does what is right in his own sight. That's what's been happening. We thank God we're coming to that time now, you know. That's why all these are landmark prophetic messages. Next week I'm going to be talking about the covering of David. That's how you will enjoy it, the blessing. You cannot generate it if you're not big enough, but you can enjoy it.
are the covering of David. Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make His face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
God makes you head and not tail,
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death.
Amen.
So you will live and you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
With long life, God satisfied.
Amen.
And show you His salvation.
Amen.
Even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto us the anointing of Enoch,
Amen.
Abraham,
Amen.
Joseph,
Amen.
Moses,
Amen.
Joshua,
Amen.
Ruth,
Amen.
David,
Amen.
Elisha,
Amen.
Daniel,
Amen.
Esther,
Amen.
Paul,
Amen.
And John.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn up and say, you maintain united praying in the Spirit. God bless you. Have a great week.